Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Spotted this on the cover of the Guardian today. A robot that can keep... that can make conversation has been tested in care homes in the UK and Japan. And we have Dr. Chris Papadopoulos on the line from the University of Bedfordshire. How are you doing, Chris?
Yeah, thanks. Good, thanks. Well pronounced, by the way.
Yes, I'd take a run at it. I'd say you get loads of variations on your name, do you, Chris?
I do indeed. But yours was a good attempt.
Okay. There he is. He's saying an attempt. So these look like lovely little robot type things. They're about, what, 3 foot tall, are they?
Yes, 4 foot tall.
Oh, 4 foot tall, right.
Yes, yeah. So they're the Pepper robots, which are manufactured by SoftBank. They're pre-existing hardware. We didn't create the hardware in the project or anything like that. But we did develop the artificial intelligence to sort of bring it alive, so to speak.
So tell us what's involved in the artificial intelligence.
So what we tried to do was to create what's called a culturally competent robot, in which the robot basically converses with older adults residing in long-term care home settings in a way that is meaningful and engaging and stimulating, and that takes into account their cultural heritage and values. Basically, that is the crux of it. It's about ongoing, autonomous, natural, engaging conversation.
Okay. How do you go about giving the robot a vocabulary the intonation to say certain things in a certain way?
Yeah, great question. So, I mean, it was a 3.5-year project, so very long. We had about 18 months to really develop the AI. So it's not something you could rush, and we certainly put in a lot of time. We had experts from different backgrounds, different domains. So we essentially brought in really, really high-level people that really understood what should, in theory, work for different types of people and what they value and what they're unlikely to value. However, one of the key features of the AI that we added, which was really, really central to it, was that we made sure that the robot didn't stay with stereotypical conversation. So what I mean by that is, initially the robot may, for example, meet an English resident and, mm-hmm, based on what we programmed it with, might engage in a conversation about football, because if football is usually valued among English older adults, but of course an English person may not actually value football, and then they may prefer basketball or whatever else. So the robot would then learn and adapt, and it would become much more individualized. So that was a really key part of the AI.
And how many people interacted with Pepper?
So we had 33 participants in the study, mostly from England, but we also had some from Japan as well. Each of them got the robot for 2 weeks, and we basically assessed what degree of impact those 2 weeks had upon their attitudes towards robots, but crucially their mental health and their levels of loneliness.
And what did you find?
Yeah, that all three significantly, all three improved. The attitudes aspect really strongly improved. So at the baseline, just before testing began, we found that these people were quite skeptical, a little bit concerned about it. They had quite strong negative attitudes. But as the intervention went on and they used it and got more familiar with it and could see that it couldn't possibly replace a human carer, it was clearly something that would be complementary and a fun supplementary companion. People really shifted their attitude towards it. And beyond that, they gained significant improvement in mental health and slight reductions in loneliness.
Yeah, it's sort of sad that we're developing robots to keep people company in old age, isn't it, in a way, Chris?
Yes, yeah. I mean, it is an unfortunate situation. Obviously nobody would want loneliness to be as high as it is, and for social care to be as stretched as it is. But we do find ourselves in that position. So I think it is important, to explore potential technological innovations.
And what about the voice, a male or female voice?
It's a sort of neutral, genderless robotic voice, but it does depend on your point of view. Some of our participants thought it sounded and sort of came across more female, and others said male. So it's a matter of opinion.
Is it inevitable that robots will be a part of our life in the future, or have we hit a sort of a block? We've gone so far, and it looks like the next phase is going to be really difficult.
I do think that it is likely. I wouldn't say inevitable, but I think it's highly probable that we'll see robots assisting care and in fact being introduced into other aspects of social life as the years go by. I mean, we've already proven in our study quite clearly that it has an impact on in terms of mental health to start over 2 weeks. So, you know, if you've developed something like that, even in a preliminary kind of prototype way, then, you know, it's difficult to stop progress. Yeah. And sometimes you shouldn't stop progress and explore it, but it's got to have ethics. My thing is that it has to have ethics at the forefront. We can't be developing and employing these things if we're not prioritizing, you know, the well-being of all populations, so making sure that we're not costing anyone's jobs and that we're putting data protection at the forefront and that things are done in an ethical way.
How much would Pepper cost? I know it's only a prototype, but what are we talking, ballpark?
Well, the robot would currently cost around €15,000, but then you would have the additional kind of subscription costs to cloud services to actually, you know, bring the actual software alive, and then technical assistance. You might need an on-site technical person initially, and that will come with costs. So it's hard to say in terms of annual real cost, but the robot itself would be about 15,000, perhaps 20,000 all in.
And it probably will work in a bit like Alexa as well, in that you can ask it to tune into your favourite radio station or play your favourite song as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We did that. And in fact, the robots, and like Alexa, but the robots make it really easy. You know, a lot of our elderly people are quite frail. It's difficult for them if they want to, you know, pull out their phone and unlock it and find the app and figure it all out. And it can be quite confusing and difficult. But to simply ask the robot, you know, could you call my granddaughter or whoever, you know, and the robot just does it. It's very nice.
Yeah. Can you play Frank Sinatra for me?
No, we did that. Yeah, absolutely. There were plenty of music requests, and music's been well evidenced to really help with prevention of dementia and quality of life and things like that. So, yeah. So music's really important.
What happens next then with Pepper, the robot?
What happens next is that, I mean, I think what will happen is that there'll be more research that's carried out. We need to investigate a few more aspects of it, I think, before we have really clear evidence as to how it works and its impact. So, for example, our intervention was only for 2 weeks, so it'd be really useful to assess it for a longer period of time. And we only looked at it at particular kinds of sort of cognitively competent people in care homes. So it'd be nice to test it on, you know, more independent living, older adults, or those with more severe dementia. So different types of people. But at the same time, I do think there's going to be a push now for commercial exploitation and development. You know, that's often what's needed to drive things from prototype stage to, you know,
you need money.
Need investment.
And finally, what about, you know, did you consider, say, if somebody has the robot, they're living sort of independently, and then they fall, or have a fall, or have a seizure, or something like that? Can the robot react to that?
The robot that we used could not respond to that. No, wouldn't recognise it. However, there are technologies out there that you could integrate into the system that can do that as a sort of add-on, and that is very useful. But that's aspect of falling is in itself an interesting cultural thing, in that sometimes it may seem to a robot, standard robot, that somebody's fallen or is lying on the ground, better alert. But in some cultures, like the Japanese culture, just lying down is where people sleep, you know, often on the floor. And so without that sort of cultural expertise, you might misunderstand.
Yeah, well, I suppose that's you've put your finger on the problem with AI in general, haven't you? You know, because that's what... that's what AI has to deal with, that humans are very complex. And,
you know,
one lying down, one man lying down is going for a sleep, another man's lying down is ring 999. So it's
right, exactly. Very, very complicated. Yes, very complex. Yeah.
Dr. Chris Papadopoulos, thank you very much for taking our call. That's Pepper the robot there, and Chris is from University of Bedfordshire in England. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.